You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. Welcome in to another edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast, where, of course, we talk about the Indiana Pacers as always. My name's Tony East. I cover the Pacers for Forbes and the West Indianapolis Community News, and today is kind of a wide-ranging cast net of shows. I'm going to rank and discuss the young players on the Pacers, which will be fun. But this show is going to start off a little different because I'm just going to walk you guys through a content planning session that I just had in my head. So I wanted to rank the young guys. I talked about this on Monday's show for this show anyway. But, you know, we're trying to start our player review series on Locked On Pacers next week, where we go back through every player on the roster, which should be fun. I'm looking forward to that. But we have to get through this week, and we have some topics. And so I was thinking about what to do today. So I'm going to give you guys two sentences on some of the stuff I thought about doing today, because I think that'll be fun. The first thing I typed was mismanagement of Paul George era, because I was thinking about LaVoie Allen today, and I thought that could be interesting to talk about how a team gunning for a title after two conference finals appearances had LaVoie Allen and Al Jefferson in the rotation at one point. Thought that could have been an interesting show. Another one I typed was former Pacers still alive in the playoffs right now. And I'll give you guys a pause here of 2 seconds while I talk to fill in the time to think about the remaining Pacers, former Pacers who are still alive in the playoffs. I bet you'll never get it. It is Solomon Hill. Who had Solomon Hill being the last former Pacer still alive this year? So if you want to root for a former Pacer to get a title, your only hope remaining is, of all people, Solomon Hill, who, for the Pacers, was a playoff killer. So actually, it shouldn't really be a surprise. But I thought that was interesting, just sorting through the rosters and seeing that. Something else I typed down was 2K ratings. I joked about that with Adam. That's not a full show. I don't know how people make 2K ratings into content, but that's something we fake discussed as an option for content here on Locked On Pacers. I don't give a two F's about 2K, but they knocked Miles Turner down 3 overall from last year and Victor Oladipo down 5. So take that for what you will. I'm not sure Miles Turner deserved that and Depot got hurt. But overall, they got the order of the guys from best to worst right, and that's all I care about with 2K ratings, is that they have the best player as the best player on the team, and that is correct. So we're ranking young players today, and none of that news matters. But there was a little bit of news today that affected the Pacers. Tomorrow was supposed to be our news show where we really break down all the news of the team. And one of the top topics we have, like, there's a lot of relevant news about the team, you know, between Brogdon's radio-a-thon, all these guys they're interviewing, and something else that we'll get to tomorrow. I don't know if a lot of people caught in the news, but anyway, one thing we have in our news links is Billy Donovan being interviewed by the Pacers, and we'll dig more into that tomorrow, although there's not really a ton to dig into or necessary things to dig into because he was hired by the Bulls yesterday. That is relevant to the Pacers because it's one less guy that is, you know, former big-time head coaching experience guy they could hire. And, you know, if they're interviewing him, there's clearly some interest. He's high profile. But I've always been thinking that, you know, between the Pelicans, Pacers, and Sixers, whichever one of them blinks first and actually hires a guy, it'll start the snowball for the other two teams pretty quickly. The Bulls were kind of separate from that group because they're you know, the coach they're looking for is a different kind, right? They're looking for more of a culture-building coach than a win or, you know, build a I can't really describe the difference. But they need something different than the other teams in terms of success right now. So Donovan makes sense for them, but doesn't really start the snowball. So I'm not sure it'll push the Pacers to a quicker hire or anything like that, but Donovan off the table. So if you wanted him for the Pacers, that is not going to happen. Okay, what we're actually here for, ranking the young players. So this is kind of an interesting exercise, kind of not, but something I talked about when I talked about the draft on a show last week, which you should check out, was if the Pacers get, you know, higher in the second round or into the first round in this draft by trading up, that has some merit because their youth pipeline isn't awesome. And I've thought about that since then, and I need to describe that in more detail because when I think about the youth pipeline for the Pacers, I kind of just think of you know, Holiday, Goga, and Edmund Sumner, and I'm like, okay, that's, you know, those are their young guys that are actually contributing. But they have 8 guys under 25 right now, and I think that, you know, that's not youth anymore, right? A lot of studies have shown that the prime age in the NBA is actually closer to like 24 or 25 than originally thought, right? It used to be that people thought, and players would say, like 28, 27 and a half, right? And that's always what I've kind of gone off is, you know, at 25 you hit your peak athleticism, and then by 28, you know, you haven't really declined a ton in athleticism, but you've gained basketball IQ, so you're better. But that's looking like less of the case, and now it's looking a little bit more like 25 might be the sweet spot. I still think it's a little higher than that, just anecdotally, but some studies are saying otherwise. But anyway, there are 8 guys 25 and under. You know, Goga, Bowen, Aaron Holiday, TJ Leaf, Alzay Johnson, Sabonis, Sumner, and Turner. That's a bigger youth pipeline than I gave credit for in the draft show. I just kind of meant guys like on rookie scale deals or like on those like fringe rotation-y guys that they need to develop into something to be helpful, right? They already have something with two of the centers. We'll get to that in a second. But ranking this can be an important exercise to me in seeing, okay, if they do swing for the draft, what they need, etc. So let's start at the bottom like we did with the trades. And this will be short and sweet and quick, right? Because Brian Bowen was a rookie, TJ Leaf after his third-year deal, and Alzay Johnson, I think, comprise the lowest tier of Pacers youth. And that is youth that isn't really pipeline youth or even guys that will be on the roster long-term. I consider these three, you know, Leaf they drafted first in 2017, and Alzay they drafted 50th in 2018, and Bowen was an undrafted 2A guy. And all, that's totally three wide-ranging spectrums of guys, but they all kind of represent the same thing to me. This year, they were all just flyers. They were all like, all right, let's see if this young guy can be anything for us and be something we develop. That seems strange with Leaf because it was his third year and he was a first-round pick, but he showed nothing in his first 2 years. They gave him a shot at the rotation early in the season, still didn't prove that he belongs in the NBA. I mean, he can rebound, but that's about it. Can't shoot, looks super awkward, can't defend. I mean, he might be the Pacers' like worst young player, and he definitely belongs in this worst young player, and he definitely belongs in this bottom tier. And looking at Alzay and Bowen, you know, being in that tier for a guy who was picked 18th is just a disaster. But really, what this tier is the guys they've had a flyer on of maybe you'll be something, but you know, you're just filling a young guy roster spot for us. And none of them, I don't think, are going to be anything or have a future in the NBA. So this is the bottom tier. I don't think any of them will have a significant role with the Pacers ever again in their careers and should not be considered a part of the Pacers' youth pipeline. I think that is the key distinction of this tier versus the tier we'll get to in the next segment. You know, Alzay, we talked about he's entering potentially restricted free agency, possibly unrestricted. He might come back for a year. I see why that could happen. I don't think it will. But I see why that could happen. But Leaf, you know, contractually he might be back. I don't know if they're even going to invest resources into giving him playing time. Bowen, probably gone as well. So that's 3/8 of their under 25-year-olds who are just not NBA players. They're just not ever going to. It's extremely unlikely. I'd put the odds on 1% chance that any of the three of them turn out to be a rotation quality player at any point ever. So as much as it's fun to think about what they could bring to the team at their best if all their skills develop, it's more likely that these guys are just not actually a part of the Pacers youth pipeline and are more just flyers that are not going to pan out. Now for Alzay and Bowen, not a big deal. They got drafted 50th in Alzay's case and undrafted in Bowen's case. In Leaf's case, 18th pick in a draft that, you know, the guy in your backyard got picked 23rd and everybody thought was a no-brainer and looks like a really good player who already won a title. Yeah, that one's not so good. But the second segment is a lot more fun to talk about because it's the second tier and I think the group that kind of starts off the youth pipeline. So let's take a break and talk about that group. But in this break, I'm going to talk about Built Bar because they are the best tasting protein bar ever and they've improved their product to make what they call a protein bar that's even more delicious-er. It is a protein bar that's 100% covered in chocolate and soft and easy to chew. And it comes in 18 amazing flavors. They have non-nut and nut-based flavors. So if you're allergic, no big deal. There's something for you. But if you're not, there's a ton of options that are super delicious. My favorite is the mint brownie. I highly recommend if you try them, you get that one. But they have variety packs. That's what I was able to originally get my hands on to try. And I really highly recommend them. They're great for the health conscious guy. And they're still a delicious treat. Low sugar, high protein, low calorie, high fiber. If you're doing a keto diet, these things are perfect for you. And they have tons of flavors. The texture matches the flavors. They're just absolutely delicious. If you go to BuiltBar.com right now, use the promo code LOCKEDON at checkout. You'll get $10 off your next order. So let's use that promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. I did not mean to make that segment 10 minutes. I probably should not have talked about all the content that I didn't actually use. Did I really need to talk about Solomon Hill? Probably not, but that's okay. Moving on. Young players for the Pacers, all the guys under 25. We knocked out Leaf, Alize, and Bowen. So the five remaining players, and this is the actual Pacers youth pipeline, is Goga Batadze, Domantas Sabonis, Edmund Sumner, Miles Turner, and Aaron Holiday. So I actually did not have trouble demarking this tier. In my tier two, I have Goga, Aaron Holiday, and Edmund Sumner. And the end of this show's segment is not just going to be like, let's talk about Domas and Miles again. Like this all will have a bigger point at the end. But this tier is interesting to me because these are the guys that, and maybe I'm being too confident here in Goga. I still think he has a ton of potential and is going to be a good player. But these three guys to me are guaranteed minimum rotation level players, and you know they have ceilings higher than that. But these guys start the youth pipeline. So they're all two of the three. Aaron and Sumner are both pushing 24. I think Aaron might have just turned 24 this month or last month or something. But you know they're all on the other side of the youth pipeline. Goga's young, but you know this group for sure. All three of them at some point have been in their Pacers rotation and contributing. Well, not necessarily in Goga's case, although he did play a lot because of injuries this year, or in Goga's case, are going to likely be at some point, either very soon or you know in the not-too-distant future. So the reason this is the start of the youth pipeline to me is this isn't the Flyers anymore, right? The first three guys, they were just like, you know what, if you succeed, that's great, but you know we're not really investing your resources into your development or giving you playing time last year with the first three guys. These guys, that is not the case. And it doesn't really seem like it because, you know, that's why it was so frustrating early in the season. Aaron Holiday got benched completely for TJ McConnell when the team was healthy for the first, like, 10 games. And that was the last time this team was healthy. But still, they weren't playing Goga at all. They weren't playing Aaron. They weren't playing Sumner. It's like they just were not giving these guys time. And that was one of McMillan's biggest faults. I've heard from a few former players that his inability to ever give young guys time or any sort of leash was actually kind of annoying. But that's not important here. The important thing is these guys showed when they did play, you know, Aaron had games where he was the best guard on the team. And Sumner was able to get into the playoff rotation. Goga had some big games in the bubble showing his development. Now, he's got some ways to go with the screening and just in general impact and strength of the NBA department. But all three of these guys, it's clear that there is a rotation spot for them no matter what. Like, even if next year the Pacers, for some reason, trade Turner and Sabonis, you could start him, and it's like, he's not going to totally kill you. He's not just some youthy scrub out there. And it's not going to go well, right? He's still a sophomore coming from Europe who has a lot to learn, but you know, he's got the skills to do it. Same with Aaron and Ed. It's like, these guys are NBA players for sure, going to help you, going to make the team better. And that is why they are in the second tier of youth pipeline. For Sumner, the next steps are so interesting to me. If he can develop a three-pointer that is at all consistent, right? The G League, he's done it. In the NBA, it's never come around. I know he works on it all the time with his trainer, Joey Burton. So if that can translate, or he can just learn to, you know, really push the drives when he gets the ball. I feel like, and this is good, I've talked about this before, I always give Ed a lot of credit when he plays for really trying to fit in and not stand out. Same with Bowen. When they play, they do a good job of just knowing their roles to be the fifth option, a good defender, and push and transition. But when Ed dribbles, things typically go well. And by his own agency, if he can find the right times to attack crevices, that would help too for him. And I think he could really solidify a rotation spot if he nails all those things, although it's going to be hard with the logjam. And because of Aaron Holiday, right, same thing. For him, it's just all consistency. He's clearly good. He has games where he looks like the best player on the team. Or best guard on the team. He never has looked like the best player on the team. But then he has games where he's the worst player on the team all the time, right? The reason he got benched early in the season is he missed his first like 16 shots this season or something crazy. So he kind of deserved it. You know, it just was weird that they weren't playing the youth at all. But if he could just get consistent and make sure he's got the toggle on between pass and shoot, because you know early in the bubble when he was so good and starting, he was really good at distributing and being a point guard, and then he kind of lost that when the playoffs started and late in the bubble even. He became a little more trigger happy. And he can't be that guy. He's young. He has to know when he doesn't have it and not just chuck. But both of those two guards look like they have some future. Goga's interesting. I don't know why I'm so irrationally high on him compared to what he's actually shown on an NBA court, but if he just gets some screen setting down, I think that will open up so much of the floor for the Pacers in general when he's on the floor. Right, his defense in space needs some work, but has shown some good rotation abilities around the basket, stuff like that. I think he will be a quality backup center sooner rather than later, and whether that translates into eventually a starter, who knows, but he belongs in the youth pipeline. So that is the middle tier. That is the guys that I think you can be confident in saying we want to keep them because they can be in our rotation and be young and talented, and we will invest resources into developing them because they might turn out to be a starter or even better. I'm really confident in Sumner being a really good player. It's just going to be really hard to find the minutes for him in the future of the Pacers. But regardless, that's the middle tier. The top tier, the last two guys, I've already mentioned both of them. I want to talk about in a second, but let's take a little break. So I wasn't thinking of these guys when I was talking about the draft, and I was talking about the youth pipeline for the Pacers. And that's so Turner was drafted in 2016, Domas in 17, not even by the Pacers, but they're both on their second contract now. That made me not think about them, right? Ed, Aaron, Goga. Well, Ed's on his second deal too, I guess, but it's still only like $2 million a year. They're on such a small or their first contract, so they feel like the youth pipeline. Domas and Miles, though, I always forget how young they are. They're both under 25. And still growing into what they're going to fully be in the NBA. Though, like I said earlier, they might be close to their fully formed athleticism themselves. Although I have a feeling both of their games, you know, neither of them are like freak athletes. So I have a feeling both of their games will, you know, as their IQ and game acumen grows, they'll continue to improve. So the reason this segment is interesting is not because, you know, the top tier of your youth pipeline is your for sure starters, all-star potential guys. For some teams, it's your superstar potential guys. It's not the case for the Pacers, but you know the overview here for this group is not to rehash what Domas and Miles can be, right? We know that. We've seen them be good at the things they're good at. We know Miles can be a force on offense, really great shooter, one of the best defenders in basketball. Domas can be the hub, a creator. They're both just really talented at a lot of things. And it can be better, right? Miles, if Miles gets a little more of a floor game, all of a sudden he's almost impossible to guard. If Domas can develop a three-point shot or get a little faster, all of a sudden he's impossible to guard. If his defense away from the basket becomes more than a negative, all of a sudden he's looking really good as a two-way player. Although right now, you know, he's good at defending centers, but that he's pretty limited on D. But, you know, both of those guys, for sure good and still in your youth pipeline. That's huge. They're really big assets for your team to have, both from a team building standpoint in terms of trades like we talked about on Monday, or in terms of just internal development, maximize the roster you currently have. The reason this segment is a full segment is, and this is sort of a referendum on the Pacers youth pipeline in general. So excluding the first three guys, Alize, Leaf, and Bowen, because like I said, I'm not counting them in the youth pipeline. While they are youth, they're not a pipeline. You're not investing resources. That's my term for the pipeline. Are you going to, you know, put this guy on the second team in practice? Are you going to put him in if there's an injury mid-game? If you needed a quick little adjustment in certain situations during the season, are you going to play that guy? If they're not going to fit any of that, you know, help the team while also developing scenarios, they're not in the pipeline. So those three guys are out. But anyway, that means the five guys in the Pacers youth pipeline, you have two guards and three centers. And that is where I wanted this exercise to lead to is, while the Pacers youth pipeline might not be small, five guys is a decent size, although they are of those guys, four of them are 1 year away or 1.5 years away from basically being 25, right? They're out of the youth. You're not calling them youth at that point anymore. Their youth pipeline is soon to be, so that's point one. Their youth pipeline is soon to be kind of drained. They might need to get a little more sooner than I think some people think. Not that it's like, you know, they have the 2021 draft pick. By the time those guys are all 25, great, they get another guy in the door. Then they'll pick 54th this year. Who knows what they can do in free agency, right? It's not a problem. It's just a state of the team, right? There, Pritchard was preaching last year how great it was that this team was all around prime age and growing into their primes together. And that's all true. Eventually, though, you have to think about how you're going to get better, and that involves your youth. The second thing is the positions that I named, right? Ed and Aaron are guards, and the other three guys are all centers. Now, positional duplicity on its own, not a big deal, but it's going to be challenging to develop Goga with the other two guys here. That on its own, not a problem. But there's no wings, and there's no real forwards. In fact, there's not forwards at all in this group. Threes or fours, if you want to call, you know, positions in basketball not a real thing, whatever. But there's no, like, 6'6 to 6'10 guys who can be a perimeter-minded bigger guy. And I think that is a problem. And that is something the Pacers need to address, is that, you know, if the, let's say T.J. Warren has a catastrophic injury pretty soon or demands a these are completely out of left field thoughts, but I mean, what is the plan on the wing? Who are they developing into the next guy on the wing? How are they going to, you know, can they just throw out McDermott and Justin Holiday and call that a wing rotation? No. And I get it. They're trying to win. It's hard to develop players and win at the same time. You know, if you look at the four teams still playing in the conference finals, none of them are just lobbing out. I mean, Michael Porter Jr. is like a very, very, very exception of to a rookie, because one, he's a sophomore, and two, he's like insanely good at offense right now. But none of these teams are just lobbing out young guys and saying go do stuff, right? It takes time, but the Pacers don't have anyone even that they can kind of rely on in that role. So I think something that's striking about this youth pipeline is they need to get a wing in it with some promise pretty soon. And again, not like a problem per se. That's the wrong word. It's not like it's a story to be written, or like someone go ask Kevin Pritchard how they're going to get a young wing below 25. Like, they're hard to get for a reason, and wings are so in demand these days. But the Pacers really do need to, I think, make a focus at some point on either drafting one this year or when, sometime, getting just, even if it's a flyer in the, between the tiers at one and two that I just talked about, right? Someone who probably has end of rotation level potential, but maybe not starter level, but just someone that you can say, this is our bench wing, right? If McDermott is gone and Justin Holiday is gone, that's possible. And 12 months from now, that could be the case. And T.J. Warren's an expiring deal. Who's stepping up next? That is what needs to be addressed in the youth pipeline to me. And that could, you know, if that guy's really young, 21, 22, that addresses your second problem too of, you know, not having much youth in this pipeline, period. So, yeah, I think ranking these players, the ranking is less important, although the demarcation line did rule out three forwards, right? Alize, Leaf, and Bowen are all what I just described. Just none of them are good enough to be the guy. Just ranking the guys and really thinking about what the youth pipeline means to me, I think really made me realize how crucial, A, getting a wing is, and B, how not youthy their youth is. It's still youth to me. You know, they're young and they're still developing, and I think, you know, years of experience is a more relevant factor than age in the case of guys like Aaron and even Sumner. So I there's room to grow for all these guys, but I just thought it was an interesting exercise in learning more about the Pacers and what something they need to focus on in their roster construction. So hope you guys enjoyed my general musings that I came up with and my thoughts about content coming up. Tomorrow's show will be me and Adam again with all the news I was just talking about. You know, the Mike Brown interview, the Brogdon Radio-a-thon. I'll just say the news that people haven't heard about. Apparently, the Sixers want to interview Kevin Pritchard. I don't know how that hasn't been discussed a ton in Pacers circles, so we'll talk about that news and who it's from. Maybe we'll get into Billy Donovan stuff, I don't know, and any other updates on the coaching search. So lots of news to get to, and Adam's got a show coming up for you guys later this week, and then next week we'll start getting into free agency from, you know, other teams around the league. Like, who can the Pacers acquire that are guards that are going to be free agents or whatever. And our player reviews. So lots of fun content coming up. Stick around for that. But thank you guys so much for listening. And we will see you tomorrow.